Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And, I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
And good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lotte, Derek Piper. The Drive with Say and Piper, Trevor Valise in the house as well. Brad Underwood met last night, one of these meet and greets, the tailgate tour, I think is the name of it.
He met last night in Chicago.
Okay.
And then today he met with us here at State Farm Center.
Oh.
Because today was the first team workout.
Gotcha.
Of the summer.
Okay. How many guys? By the way, you're going to hear from Brad Underwood today. Also, Barry Lunny Jr., offensive coordinator for Illinois football. He's going to join us at 5:05. So excited to talk to Coach Lunny. I know it's you know, he's probably by now starting to get the lay of the land, if you will, here in Champaign, and he's the newest coach. So we'll ask him how the transition has gone and kind of what they're working on now as we kind of eye the fall and Illinois football this season. So basketball has begun, and I mean, I'm finding this out with my son. You know, there's no break in any. Like athlete, they are constantly on the go. And for Illinois basketball, of course, now they have actual workouts that the coaches can attend, or how does it work out right now?
So they're limited in terms of how much time the coaches can spend on the court with the players. The players outside of that can do their own free, what you call it, pickup basketball, like pickup games that they go against each other or just get any extra work in. But I think it's 8 hours a week. To start out, the coaches get to spend in terms of team workouts or skill workouts. So it's limited, but it is the start of that new season and getting the new group together. It's not a full group right now. Matthew Meyer, Underwood confirmed today, will not be with the Illini until July.
Get rid of him. I don't want him.
He's got some classwork to still finish up at Baylor. I think he's growing the mullet. I think that's the excuse. And then he'll show up in July with the full flow.
Boom.
Back here. And Ty Rogers coming off the gold medal with Team USA and the FIBA Americas is back in the States, back home for a few days, Underwood said, to get a little bit of a break before he shows up in Champaign later this week to join the team. And then RJ Melendez isn't back yet. He's back home for a family wedding in Puerto Rico, so he will return as well. But you'll have most of the team by the end of this week all together, and we'll wait on Matthew Meyer, who, of course, is a big piece, but not that you're necessarily worrying about who he's going to be or, we really got to – they wanted to develop him, but he will join up with this group next month.
It's funny you said, you know, like just go out and kind of play against each other, pick up, et cetera. It reminded me of a story in college. We used to go over to the rec center, and we'd run the court, and it was nothing to do with me. It was a bunch of guys from the Springfield, like Waverly, Auburn, New Berlin area, and we were all just pretty good players, decent, right? But we just all worked together. Like, we played like – we shouldn't have played the style of basketball we played at the rec, right? You're supposed to just go have some fun, but we were, like, literally, like, running plays. Like, this is ridiculous. But one of our point guards, I remember every time he would walk right like midway through a game, he would walk over at a dead ball to like guys standing underneath the court, underneath the hoop, and he'd say, "Hey, are you guys next?" And they're like, "Yeah, we are." And he goes, "Well, you probably want to be scouting our team." And then I'm like, "Wow, I never had the guts to say that." And normally, though, we'd be playing them. So it was always kind of fun. I mean, this team, when you look at it, obviously there is experience with Meyer and Coleman and Shannon. and even to a degree, RJ and Luke. But there's so many new to this in terms of the freshmen coming in. But plus, the idea that a lot of these guys haven't played together. To me, that's the biggest thing right now, is to get these guys together on the court and see what they can do and kind of get to know each other, right? Get to learn each other's game.
Definitely. You can get that even in kind of the informal pickup basketball where you're just starting to get a feel for where guys like to get their shots and just the on-court chemistry that's going to have to develop as you go. And with how talented this group is, I think there's a lot to be said for guys that can get better and challenge each other, even without the coaches out there. Of course, now when you're going to have a new play style, a new group, then you want the coaches to be able to implement. And it's going to be slow. It's going to be a slow process. Sure. Every summer we want to jump in and say, all right, let's get this offensive system established and let's go and run at full capacity. That usually doesn't happen. I know in the summer in the past, it's usually been more geared towards individual development.
Right.
Now, I think Brad mentioned today, and you'll hear that later, there is a little bit of a different approach because it's a new group and also because of just the drastic change there's going to be in how Illinois is going to play. But definitely, so many new faces that haven't played together, just getting out there and playing off each other and learning more about each other, that's certainly a big key for the summer.
I've been seeing some pictures lately of like Sky Clark, Jaden Epps. They have literally sweat through their shirt. Is that Fletch running them through these things, or is that the actual coaches running them through drills?
So up to this point, and what's been great is Sincere, Sky, and also Jaden Epps have been on campus since May. So they showed up early, getting like a full month of work on their own, and that was a lot with Fletch.
Right.
And then also just getting out on the court and going out there together, because the staff was limited until the summer in terms of what they could do with them. But now it is working with Chester, working with Tim, individual like guard workouts, that kind of stuff. So I think that today it was a full team. There, you know, towards the end they were running through some half court stuff, and you had 5-on-5 and stuff like that, and also shooting drills. But yeah, when they're working up that sweat, they're putting in the work. And Sky's always got the big T. You know, that goes back to the early 2000s, and like Darren Williams wearing that huge T-shirt underneath his jersey. That's kind of a throwback, but certainly something that I can appreciate.
I love it. Do you think right now, and I know you're not there for the workouts, but in your mind, do you think right now it's more fundamentals? I mean, they're not getting nitty-gritty with kind of plays, that kind of stuff, right? And especially with the idea that Meyer's not here. Is Shannon here? I forgot.
Shannon's here. He's another one of those guys that showed up. I know he had to finish some classes at Texas Tech through May, but he showed up a few weeks before workouts started, so he's been here as well.
So more fundamentals and just kind of working, I guess working that to try to get ready to go. So I like it.
Yeah, you're not going to have plays on the first week. I think that as the summer goes on, I think Brad will want to see what it looks like and see, all right, let's try this action in the half court, or let's try this defensive. I think you're establishing your principles a little bit.
I agree.
The defensive end. Okay, this is the way that we're thinking about guarding, and then you run some drills. If they're going to switch within the half court, then you're going to put them in situations where they would switch and make sure they're in the right spots and see what those rotations look like. But it's not going to be full-fledged up and down 5-on-5 calling plays and opening up the playbook and everything. And I think there's also some film work that you could do as well, and showing guys how you want to look and that whole kind of deal. So a lot of teaching and learning, but to your point about fundamentals or just individual development, I think there's a lot of things they can do to work on certain aspects of different guys' games, whether that's improving the handle, improving the jump shot, and then Fletch with his physical transformation that he's able to do each and every summer with these guys.
Do you think what percentage of college coaches, and here's where I'm getting at, Brad Underwood came in to Illinois and wanted to play a certain style of defense that all of us understand as Illinois fans needed to change a little bit because it wasn't working. Well, then Kofi came along, and that certainly dictated what kind of a defense you could run, and they ran it very well, obviously, with the big man in the middle. Now you have a more athletic team in terms of getting out on the go, playing more pressure, I would assume, on the defensive end, because you have guys like Meyer and Shannon and Ty and these guys that can play and guard, even Sincere, can guard different positions, where it seemed like the last few years you pretty much knew, you know, Trent Frazier, who was unbelievable at defense, but, okay, he's probably going to take the best score. You know, Plummer, he's going to take kind of the guy that doesn't score a lot, but try to keep him in front of him. You know, in other words, you kind of knew what was going to happen on defense, whereas now you can switch, you can do all of that. So for Brad Underwood, it's almost as though, all right, we started with this defense, then we shifted once Kofi got here to this defense. Now do you think he shifts back to the original one? And I guess my question then to you is that something that you think college coaches do all the time now? Or like a guy like Tom Izzo, does he pretty much just run the same defense no matter the athletes that he has? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that you recruit to a certain style that you want to play. So Izzo's probably established, and he has always been, at least in terms of offense, he wants to run. He wants to be one of the top transition teams, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. So you recruit to that style, but I think there's also something to be said for being able to adjust to your personnel.
Right.
And that was something that Brad had to do once you got Kofi, and now that you don't have him and you're going to throw out some smaller lineups in terms of what you have the five. I think across the board, we've talked about bigger wings, more athleticism, more length, taller guards. I think that he was asked today, are you going to go back to the pressure of your early days here at Illinois? And he said, not all the way. I don't think you're going to see denying the passing lanes 30 feet from the basket, but he is going to have more options in what he can do as far as trying to create turnovers, like we talked about, switching, and maybe some full court pressure. I think there's going to be a lot more in the bag of being able to have wrinkles and being able to change some things up in what you want to do or what you potentially can throw at somebody. Because like, even think about pick and roll. Illinois was pretty much stuck in, okay, Kofi's not going to come out and switch onto a guard. He's not even going to show because he's not going to be able to recover, or the guard's going to run into him and put a foul on Kofi, which he's already got issues. I thought he was foul trouble plagued throughout his career, because it really wasn't to his credit. But now when you have Hawkins at the five, or you have Dane Danger at the five, and Brad is teased, I can put Matthew Meyer at the five in some kind of five-wing lineup, they can then switch, they can then blitz ball screens and everything like that. So just being able to do those different kinds of things makes them more versatile and makes it for a coach to be able to say and adjust to the opponent and adjust to what's working and what's not.
I love it, man. Basketball, we're underway. And, of course, this is a team that with the additions of these freshmen, with the additions of Shannon and Meyer, now this is a team that many think will be ranked in the top 15 and maybe grow from there in terms of get better from that. I'm excited to see this.
Yeah, and I think the brand of basketball is going to be very
entertaining. There's no doubt.
Not only the talent, which there's a lot to be said for the talent that's on the roster, but just the way they're going to play. They're going to play fast, what they can do offensively, what they can do defensively. And one thing to note, and it's more of a – it's not really too much of a deep dive, but I think Brad mentioned last year's defense was fairly vanilla. Now, Illinois was a pretty good defensive team the last couple of years. I think not last – 2 years ago, they were better than they were last year. They took a little bit of a step back because Io was a pretty good defender. Adam Miller was a pretty good defender.
Yes, he was.
You had some height issues at guard. You didn't rebound as well in terms of keeping guys off the offensive glass. But now it was kind of like island defense. The way I described it is Trent has this guy.
Right.
Plummer has this guy. And you're not going to switch. You're going to fight through screens, and there's not a whole lot of rotating. There's not a lot of help defense. And now it's, I think, some of the best defensive teams. Not only are they long, not only are they athletic, but they can do some different things to where a guy helps off, and then you have the length and athleticism to recover on guys. And all of a sudden you're in those rotations, so to speak, and you can cover more ground versus, okay, you're going to stick to, if this guy's going to stay in the corner, I'm going to stay here and not really help off. I think that's one thing you're going to see change.
Well, you saw the blueprint 2 years ago with Baylor. But you certainly have to have those kind of athletes. And I'm not saying Illinois doesn't, but I don't know that they have the experience yet of those kind of athletes to do what Baylor did on defense. I mean, you and I can remember, and Trevor, the next day after that game, looking at each other. And I think I told you, I said, I don't know that I've ever seen a better defensive college team, at least in the last, like, 5 to 10 years. That team was ridiculous. And they could switch on anything. I mean, you never Io never got a chance to even drive towards the basket. He just never had a chance. And then, of course, last year in the NCAA tournament with Houston, you saw a little bit of that as well with their length and how they could bother you. So certainly those are two teams that kind of showed you, you know, kind of the way you could do it. But, again, it's a lot easier said than done to just say, okay, guys, let's go be Baylor on defense. You know, I mean, we got Myers, so I guess that part of it's done. One-fifth of it is done. But, you know,
and Dane just learned it a little bit, yeah, too, when he was
true.
At Baylor.
That's a good point. So, heck, now we're 40% done. I mean, it's like you're trying to download something. We're 40% there. Let's go. Let's get it done. All right, again, you're going to hear from Brad Underwood. We'll do that this hour. Barry Lunney, Jr., Illinois offensive coordinator, football, of course, joining us at 5:05. Excited for that. I'm still excited about interviewing Reba McEntire's niece. I mean, I'm still all about Calamity McEntire, and the fact now that she is Reba McEntire's niece, I'm like, I've got to meet Coach McEntire now. I mean, that's like my goal is to meet her. All right, can I tell you guys this before we get to Cardinals baseball? We're going to talk for just a second. Today, I learned that I am indeed old. And you know how I talk about it on the show, and I'm this and that. Today, we ran a pork burger booth for 4 hours, and I was in this heat for 4 hours. I am done, like just fried, and I got here, and a shout-out to Diane Ducey. I owe her $1.06. She comes in, and she goes, well, you need some Mountain Dew. You know, I find that caffeine's good for you. I'm like, well, I know, but I'm trying to stay away from Mountain Dew. Obviously, the weight issue, this and that. And she's like, well, you probably ought to get one, and I'm like, okay, so she went and got me a Mountain Dew, so thank you to Diane Ducey. She has now given me the energy to get through 2 hours of the show today, but man, that wiped me out. And I mean, it's just hot. Kudos to anyone that works outside, and I have a lot of friends that do.
Yep.
I don't know how you do it. And I'm sure it's a little bit of, I spend all day in an office and then sitting here, and you get used to that, right? You get used to being in the air condition. You get used to sitting at a desk, etc. So if you're out in this thing all the time, I mean, I don't know who could get used to this, but eventually you do kind of build up that stamina. But I just, kudos to anybody that's outside working in this. You're my hero, because I did it one day and I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be watching the Stanley Cup game one, but I'm going to try my best. Maybe this Mountain Dew will get me through the hockey on that. All right, Derek Piper, Bud Smith was the last to do it.
Oh, man.
Jose Jimenez in 1999. He was the second to last to do it. Bobby Forsch had two of them. Bob Gibson had one. Ray Washburn had one. A guy by the name of Lon Warnke.
It's showtime.
I don't know why.
Ladies and
I
gentlemen.
Hit that. Sorry. Or was that, was that you? Trevor?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is weird.
Can I please have your attention?
I don't know why that's happening. Okay, hopefully that won't happen again. Lon Warnke, Paul Dean, Jesse Haynes, Ted Breitenstein had the very first one in 1891. We're talking no-hitters for the Cardinals. So there's only been a total of 10 no-hitters in the history of St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Miles Michaelis came one pitch, one out away from doing it last night. Can I ask you this? I can't remember the guy that broke it up, but when he hit it, did you think that was over Harrison Bader's head, or did you think that was going to fall in front of Harrison Bader? I felt like it was going to be like a flare that was going to drop in front of Harrison Bader. And the next thing I know, it's a ground rule double. I'm like, how did that ball get out there?
I knew that he put a good swing on
it. Yeah.
And actually, some of the previous outs, the way that it came off the bat, I was like, well, that one's gone, and there goes the no-hitter. And it's like a fly out to right field, and like Carlson doesn't even have to move. So that shows my judgment of one, seeing it just on the swing on TV. But yeah, man, and we'll get into just what that had to be like for Michaelis to start a game on a night where it's 100 degrees at first pitch and to throw 130 pitches and be one out away from a no-hitter. And there was at least one borderline call in that last at bat that could have gone his way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it should have. And he kind of hung a curveball a little bit, and a good swing went over Bader's head. Bader was decently close.
I agree.
It would have been one of the catches of the year to be able to make it.
If anybody's going to get it, it's Bader, right? I mean, he's one of the best.
With the closing speed, with the reads off the bat. I didn't know for sure.
To be that close.
Oh,
you could see it in Adam Wainwright's face.
I know.
I mean, you could see it was agonizing to Adam Wainwright. I bet if you would have said to Waino right then, would you rather be out here pitching the ninth or sitting here watching, he'd be like, give me the ball. I do not like watching this when I have zero control. Waino was like a fan last night. Yeah, welcome, Waino. It's not fun, man. I mean, the anguish that we go through as a fan watching not just no-hitters, but just any sport in general, it's not easy to be a fan.
You could see both the excitement on his face, how bad he wanted it for Miles Michaelis, but also just like all of us watching, whether in the stadium last night or on TV, how it was just the nerves.
That's so tough. Nolan Ryan threw seven of those. I saw a stat the other day that Nolan Ryan threw like seven no-hitters. He threw like 15 one-hitters, like 28 two-hitters, and like 35 three-hitters or something. I mean, he pitched 25 years in Major League Baseball, Nolan Ryan. And I think it was on the Cardinals telecast. They're like, do we give enough credit to Nolan Ryan and what he was able to do as a pitcher? It's unbelievable.
Cal Mitchell is the villain here.
Duh.
And he was pinch hitting. I didn't realize this until looking it up right now. I was caught up in the moment, didn't even realize it was a pinch hitter. Pinch hitter, two outs in the ninth with a no-hitter. And Cal Mitchell, 23 years old, hitting .217 on the year, got one of his hits against Miles Michaelis.
Of course, if you're and that was Kisner behind the plate, right? So he would have had a chance to call his first no-hitter. That's almost as exciting for the catcher as it is the pitcher. But in that spot, I'd rather just face a regular. I wouldn't want to face a guy off the bench because, yes, you have the advantage in the sense that he's kind of cold, if you will. But, look, these guys go down – they hit 50 balls before they even get up there off tees or whatever. And all the advanced metrics, they know what you're throwing. But at least with the guys that you faced in the game three times to that point and maybe a fourth, you have a good idea, okay, this is what has worked tonight against this guy. And now all of a sudden you get a pinch hitter up and you're like, oh boy, what are we going to do with him? So, yeah.
And Miles was gassed.
Oh, he was tired. He was.
Which you can't blame him.
No,
at all.
No. He had spent the day, did you hear this, with his family at the aquarium and was like during the first game, because I figured what they would do with Miles Michaelis starting the second game is they would say, hey, treat it like you're coming to the ballpark to pitch the night game. You do not have to be at this first game. So he and his wife, I think, had taken their child to the aquarium, and he said he was following along on his phone and trying to be hidden, essentially, so people weren't going, aren't you Miles Michaelis? Like, shouldn't you be at Busch Stadium? But, yeah, really cool stuff for Miles Michaelis, and the Cardinals have won three straight now against the Pirates, and they play again tonight. Who's on the hill tonight?
Jack Flaherty.
Oh, that's right. What am I doing? Yes, Flaherty on the hill. A buddy of mine texted me today and said, did you see with the weekend series in Boston that Waino against Waka in one of the
games?
Is
that right?
Yeah. Wow. I'm excited about that. That'll be cool because I always thought Waino was the next Carp, and then I thought Waka was going to be the next Waino because he's built like him. Of course, it didn't happen, but Michael Waka's having a pretty good turnaround of his career, especially in Boston. So good stuff there. All right, we got to catch a break. When we come back, you'll hear from Brad Underwood, Illinois basketball coach, met with the media to discuss workouts that are underway. And then at 5:05, Barry Lunny Jr., Illinois offensive coordinator, is going to join us then. We are back. It is The Draw.
What kind of bedside manner would you like your doctor to have? At Roof Doctors, they make sure you feel good about what they can do for you. They make sure they answer all of your questions and feel comfortable about whatever procedure your roof needs. Roof Doctors has helped customers for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy have helped make lives better in our community with their generosity and kindness. Roof Doctors is a company you can trust if you need anything done on your roof. Roof Doctors in Urbana, they make you their number one priority.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mariette Fisher with OSF Healthcare. Focusing on family medicine brings me joy, meeting with patients to make them feel welcome and comfortable to develop a treatment plan that's cost-effective for them. At OSF Healthcare, preventative screenings for health issues is important for people to keep up with. Don't put it off. Get your annual wellness visits, your regular checkups, and treat your body right to feel better. We've got such a great team at OSF to take care of you. We are dedicated to providing transformational care that helps you live your best life. Our trusted providers are committed to supporting health and wellness for all. Get your primary care with OSF Medical Group as you reach out to our caring team. For more details, you can visit our website at oshealthcare.org.
Hi, we're your Prairie Gardens plant experts. You know, I think one of the things that people forget to think about in the summertime, the heat of the summer, is watering.
Also on our annual plants, in our containers and hanging baskets, water is super important, and we should check that in the morning especially. That way they can go into the day being hydrated.
And not just the annuals we planted this spring, but any of those trees and shrubs that we've just planted, they can just go wilty.
Come to Prairie Gardens, Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
Next week on an all-new Lawn and Order.
Order, order. We convene here for case 217, Spring Green versus Weeds. Spring Green, the floor is yours.
The weeds are infectious. The weeds steal the beauty from your lawn. We offer personalized lawn care, a mid-season checkup, and a simple and transparent process. Just click on to spring-green.com for a quote.
Okay, Spring Green wins. Weeds, you're out.
That's spring-green.com.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location this summer and shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of the awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. Take advantage of their 13 Thursday deals, 20% off select sweatshirts, and or buy one, get one 50% off hats every Thursday this summer. Shop with them at the corner of 6th and Green, Campus Town, Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
There's a clear choice for Congress. Mary Miller voted with the Socialist Squad to defund our military. Like Joe Biden, Miller coddles criminal illegal immigrants and says it's our responsibility to care for them. Ann Miller knowingly hired a convicted pedophile to be her driver and allowed him to prowl our neighborhoods and put our kids at risk, abandoning our troops, giving aid to criminals who illegally cross our border. Embracing a convicted pedophile, fake conservative Mary Miller can't be trusted. Conservative Congressman Rodney Davis voted to strengthen our military and give our troops a pay raise. Davis voted for President Trump's wall and to cut off funding for sanctuary cities. Ann Davis is endorsed by the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police because he's tough on crime. Rodney Davis is the strong conservative that Illinois families can trust.
I'm Rodney Davis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Rodney for Congress.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated, family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Batteries.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Forgot to tell you, you can always find us on Twitter at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN CU.
I'm at DPiper 247. Podcast on all platforms.
Sweet.
iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Also, tanpiper.podbean.com. And you can stream us live at stevyj.com. And also, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
Nice.
Just search Tay and Piper, The Drive 93.5.
Trevor, did you go to a movie last night? Uh-oh, he's rolling up. Rolling up to the microphone.
No, but I'm going to a movie tomorrow night.
You are?
The Jurassic Park.
I tried to figure out if I wanted to see that.
Which will be my third movie this month, which is three more than Joey Wagner's seen in the last decade.
I saw that. Do you, well, we got to get to Underwood, but do you find that you still are not going with the regularity to movies like you were pre-COVID?
I don't know. I think I've kind of returned.
Okay.
Only because it's summer and they've got blockbusters rolling out.
Yeah.
But if it's a movie where I can go see it in the theater or I can watch it on Netflix the same day, I'm probably going to watch it on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's like
I love going to the
Batman
theater.
Or you know something spectacular. But if it's just like a murder mystery or something, I'll probably stay home and watch it.
Those are my favorite.
But I love going to movies. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd go to a movie five times. I don't care.
I totally agree. And I
was wondering if you guys thought it would be a good idea to have Miles Michaelis be the honorary starter for the All-Star game just because he got close to a no-hitter last night.
I was wondering if you were handing out.
You know, he should be on the roster
participation
regularly. So I think we're good. I think we're fine.
I was wondering if you were still salty about that yesterday.
No, oddly enough, watching them lose a no hitter with one out to go made me not salty at all.
No,
anymore.
Now you weren't rooting for a hit, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, I was gonna say.
In fact, when he first hit it, I thought Bader was gonna make. Usually in a no-hitter, there's the play, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I thought it was just enough over his head, but Bader's so good defensively and so fast, I thought he was going to lay out and catch
it
make an absurd play to end the game and be like the play of the no-hitter.
Even an error, but you couldn't have given him an error. I mean, there's nothing that Bader could have done to earned an error on that with what he was doing. So, yeah, that was tough. That was tough. I love when I don't care who's pitching, I don't care what team, when you have a chance to watch history, that's always the coolest thing. There have only been 10 no-hitters in Cardinals baseball.
I was rooting for him.
That's cool.
I'm not straight up evil to, you know, to root
know.
Against the no-hitter with one out to go.
I love it. All right, Trevor, thank you, sir.
Sure.
Brad Underwood met with the media today, and we wanted you to get a chance to hear a lot of this. So it's always fun to get Coach Underwood. He loves doing this, doesn't he?
He said he didn't miss us in the time he hasn't talked to us.
Wow.
But he's pretty good once he gets a chance to discuss.
Where'd he go on vacation, did he say?
Grand Cayman.
Good spot. That's where I kept falling off my, what do you call those? Not a surfboard, but whatever. And I'm like, dude, get to the beach. There's a shark out here that's looking at you right now. That would be awesome to run into Brad Underwood down in Grand Cayman and just have a few.
He went to Vegas for a golf event. I think it was Lon Kruger's Coaches versus Cancer golf event. And then right after that, went to Grand Cayman. So
that's awesome.
He's been living right.
Well, here he is today, and he sounded excited about getting his crew back on the court.
It's a great day to be back out here with a lot of fresh faces. The start of our 8-week summer kicked off today. We don't have everybody yet. Matt is still not here. He'll be in mid-July, early July. Guy finishing up his academic responsibilities at Baylor. Ty is coming off gold medal with USA under 18s. Got back early this week. He's taking a few days back home. He'll be in this weekend to start with us then, just get a little break and run down. RJ's not here right now. He's back home at a family wedding. So, but for the most part, it's really good to see everybody. I felt like we had a great, great spring. We went back to pre-COVID kind of workouts, got back after it pretty good. And then we had a good group here in May. Luke and RJ stayed. They never went home. And then it worked out for us that the three of the four freshmen were able to finish up their academic responsibilities and get here in May. So Jaden, Sky, and Sincere have both been here all through May. So they got a little bit of a jump start on that as well. But obviously excited about adding Matt, a guy that I've known since high school. Saw his team play in high school a great deal. He's coming off a terrific career and run at Baylor. That's part of the lure. He's been extremely well coached. He's a young man that's been where we want to go. And that experience, he's tremendously talented. His versatility excites me. He can literally play 1-5. I think he's an elite defender. Can guard any of those positions. And then he's very gifted offensively. And he's got a bravado. He's got a swag about him. He's been a big shot maker his whole career. And I'm excited. I think our style of play, getting back to playing a little more up-tempo, really suits him. And so I'm excited to have him in the fold and get him in here in a few weeks. So we're
moving in a good direction. I feel great. We're getting close to having a final schedule out, which we know will be very, very competitive. And just excited for this group. They've got a fresh energy and willingness to work, and that's been fun to be a part of.
Has your summer approach changed as the years pass, given a new team and a new play style and everything like that?
Yeah, a lot more teaching going to happen this summer. Be a little bit of a slower pace because of the teaching. We know that we've got young guys that are going to help us, and we need to make sure that they're up to speed. And the one thing about this freshman group is they work, and so I know that's not going to be an issue. They've been exceptional in the weight room. Sky won't participate right away in live one-on-one, two-on-two, five-on-five stuff. He's still recovering and getting really close. He's gaining strength in that leg every day, so he'll be a little bit behind in terms of that. But the biggest thing for him is getting healthy. So, but a lot of teaching. Attention to detail is really important, getting them to understand that. We'll spend a good amount of time here early on the defensive end.
What was your prep like as a staff leading into summer workouts, knowing that things were going to be maybe a little different, and you said more teaching?
Yeah, a lot of that started with Fletch. And that was, I think, one of the big keys with RJ and Luke staying, is making sure that we know those guys are really good players. They're ready to make that jump, and they needed to do that physically and just in terms of getting stronger. So it's a big adjustment there. And then their leadership with the three freshmen being here. So, we know we've got to slow down a little bit. We don't have that veteran team, with fifth-year guys and veterans that we had last year. So we've got to make sure we're really dialed in and attention to detail, and that's been a big focus for us.
Does that excite you a little bit, knowing that you've got a whole new roster?
Yeah, I'm fired up. It gives you a new buzz. I know it'll be time to hang it up, but I'm not excited. I was in Chicago last night, and I couldn't wait to plan practice and plan shoot around, and been working all spring, in the changes we have to make. But I'm visual. I need to see it, and so it's exciting to get out here and see how guys are live and what that looks like. So yeah, there's a tremendous sense of excitement in this group. They're very dedicated. They've been very, very committed to everything we've done so far.
When you say new energy, can you contrast that to maybe the difference of feeling now than it had been in the past?
Yeah, you play off their energy. You play off their excitement. Veterans have a tendency sometimes to be a little complacent, because they know everything. And things aren't boring for this group. It's all new. It's all fresh. Trent Frazier knew our playbook and knew everything that I was going to say before I said it. And, not that that's a really good thing. But, this group brings a certain energy, and that's been fun to be around.
What went into the evaluation process internally to know what you wanted going forward with what your roster has, what your style of play is going to be?
It's been talked about for a long time. Since his staff got here, we knew Kofi would not be back. We felt very strongly that, he was right where he was, first team All-American, and that he would move on. So now it's okay. How do you replace Kofi? Well, you don't. There's not 7 foot, 300 pound guys with his athleticism running around. And I think versatility was a key word with size. And we've looked to try to go get those guys in that, 6'3", 6'4", to 6'10", range, who can do multiple things. I think we have the ability to play five forwards. I think we have ability to do a lot of different things. We're very skilled in terms of ball handling and driving it and shooting it. And I like that. So it'll allow us to do different things defensively. I think our pace of play can be exceptional. We'll see how it all looks and comes together as we move forward. But that was the plan. And we needed guys in the fall with this high school group that could be guys off the dribble. And that was not one of our strengths last year. And we've got a group of guys in Sincere, Jaden, Sky, Ty, who can all beat people off the bounce, who can all get into the paint. You know, Sincere's as athletic a kid as we've had. The other three guys are really strong, have great bodies, and great quickness. So, mission accomplished. Our staff did an incredible job of finding those guys, securing them, you know, then we add the transfers of guys with size to go along with what we started 2 years ago with RJ and Luke, and we all know Coleman's versatility. So that's kind of been the plan for the last couple of years, is to become bigger and more versatile at all spots.
If Matthew gives you what he gave Baylor last year, are you good with that, or do you think there's a ceiling level that he still hasn't gotten to?
No, I think there's a ceiling. I think there's, you know, you're talking about one of the elite programs, obviously, in the country, winning national championship, and they've had pros. They've had lottery picks. And I think our style of play favors him. I think that I think from a confidence standpoint, he can grow. He has a lot to begin with. He's got great swag. He's not afraid of anything. He's very talented. And I think we're going to put him in a situation where he's got an opportunity to be a great player. And so I'm excited about that. I think he can really grow. I think he's an elite defender. I've always thought that since high school. And now getting out and running and playing the tempo and using his versatility, we'll utilize all of that.
You maybe knowing him since high school, and then what's his evolution been over the last 4 years at Baylor? And having a chance to play against him a couple of years ago, to maybe looking at him now this offseason to add him.
Well, I think it, you know, I think that one, it starts with winning. His team's won in high school, played on great teams. He's been around great talent his whole life. He's been very well coached, even at high school level and at Baylor. And I think it's just you know, continuing to evolve from the side of improving his shooting, becoming that guy that is a very consistent, you know, 40% or better 3-point shooter. I think that we got the opportunity to get him those looks, and I think him being a focal point potentially for what we want to do on that end will help him grow in that area as well.
Brad, there's so much talk about the transfer portal, and you kind of go out evaluating high school kids this summer. I mean, high school recruiting is still a major, major part of Illinois' future and success.
Yes, there's no doubt. I think the one thing that we'll be forced to be extremely selective. I don't want to miss on guys. I don't want guys that don't want to be here and grow. I think that I keep using the word development. I think we're the elite development program in the country. I believe that. From Fletch to what we do on the court with our coaches, our guys get better. And so that's very important to me, to see guys grow in that area, and making sure guys understand that. If they're talented enough to become one and done, I get it. You know, there's also tremendous value in age and experience, and I think you've got to have that right balance. I like this team. It's one of the key reasons TJ and Matt, we went out and got with these four freshmen who I think are really, really talented.
Today's a pretty big day on the recruiting calendar. How did you and your staff approach that? Were you manning the phones at midnight?
Absolutely. As I was sitting in a car coming back from an event in Chicago, we reached out to some really quality young players. And that's what you can kind of count on June 15th at midnight, that most coaches are going to be reaching out to their top priorities.
We know you've had interest in keeping an open spot going into the season, but how much has the transfer portal and the way college basketball is going maybe reinforced that?
Oh, it's huge. You know, I think it's very challenging to keep 13 happy. I'm not sure you can keep 12 happy. I'm not sure, you know, I think that it has to be the right mix, the right fit. I'm not. I think we're going to see more and more players available at semester. We've got a steal in Dane at semester. Guy that got to practice with us and grow, and a guy that's lost, you know, 30 plus pounds since he's been here.
So there's an advantage to that, and having an open scholarship or two is not a bad thing.
NIL is a big part of the decision-making process now for guys, and it seems like you guys have been really competitive in that arena. How have you evaluated what that's brought to your program or what you have on the table in that sense?
Yes and no. I think that every young player's situation is different. I think we're looking at guys that for variety of reasons, not to downplay NIL, it's a factor in what we do. And it is very important, and I think it'll continue to be very important. But I think everybody's got a little bit of a skewed look at thinking all these kids are just out here to make money and see how much they can get, and that's not the case. I think and TJ and Matt and those guys are very committed to what we're trying to do from the development piece, and that was important for those guys. And having a relationship, and Matt had one with TA, and I've known Matt a while, so I think all those things factor in. I don't think it's just dollars and cents like everybody wants to make it, but it is a part of it, and we have to be at the top of our game as we move forward in the future to be able to compete in that arena.
With Matt coming from obviously a winning program, TJ, same deal at Texas Tech, how much can that piece maybe help a younger team you've got around them?
Well, it's always been a major part. Maybe Alfonso last year was a little bit of the off-center piece that had not come from a winning program, but we dove pretty deep into the character and his work ethic. But look at all four of those freshmen and the success that they had. One of the things you can usually count on in our recruiting is the winners, and they've come from winning programs, and we're not going to take guys that aren't, for the most part. But TJ's been to an Elite Eight. Obviously Matt's a national champion. Baylor's been hardly out of the top five in his time there. And so winning becomes very contagious, and there's lessons to be learned from that. And they can pass that on to us, coaches, to hear their stories too. Obviously the young players, and so that's a big part of the reason we wanted them. And it's something that I hope helps us continue to grow and get where we want to go.
That is Brad Underwood, Illinois basketball coach. We'll hear some more of that a little bit later on this week. Let you finish that out. If you're wondering who's dribbling the basketball, it's Corey Bradford. And he's pounding the basketball on the court. I'm like, Corey, relax, man. We're trying to get an interview here. And you're like, ba-bam!
He was in a fierce competition with a couple of managers.
Oh, really?
After workouts. They were doing like around the world team style, 2-on-2.
Nice.
And he was lighting them up.
Well, and if you watch this, while I'm watching Brad in the background, I'm seeing Corey, and he doesn't miss. I mean, the kid just doesn't miss.
He doesn't miss.
He never did, the kid.
Even though he's not a kid anymore.
Right. He's still knocking him down. Can I say one observation that's not going to, win me any Pulitzers or anything? I don't even know what you do for radio. Brad Underwood just seems so much happier the last couple of years. Have you noticed that? And don't get me wrong, I think losing weight, I think, has helped him. I think any of us, if we lose weight, I think any of us, anybody will tell you, you're just in a better mood because you feel better. But it's not that. I mean, it's more so that I just feel like Brad Underwood had a monumental job to get this program to where he wanted it, and now it's where he wants it. That's the way I look. Yeah, he still wants to win in March. He's won a Big Ten title. He's won the portal games so far in terms of bringing in Plummer. Last year was really good, and of course, Meyer and Shannon this year. We'll see how that works out, but obviously those are two of the top, 10 maybe transfers, or top 30 transfers in the portal. And, of course, he's got a stud freshman crew coming in. I just feel like Brad Underwood has the program now to where he wants it, and I think you can see that on him. I think he wears that on himself now.
Fair observation. He has every reason to be that way.
Right.
Now, there's more steps to take, as you were saying, and he even tell you, you're trying to go deeper in the NCAA tournament. He knows that that's something that they need to do, and to live up to their own expectations sure. internally. But those are strides left to take. But the steps that they had to get to from where he started were so that climb over that hill where they were one of the worst teams in the Big Ten and didn't have a roster that was ready to compete at a very good level. And all of a sudden, I mean, they didn't make the NCAA tournament the first 2 years he was here. And then the latter stretches of, 4 years of John Gross's tenure, didn't make the NCAA tournament then.
A lot of pressure on him.
There was a lot of pressure.
A lot.
And we've talked about, now it's not the same thing. We're talking to Calamity McIntyre yesterday and saying, you've got a big job on you to be able to turn this thing around when you haven't made the NCAA tournament in 2 decades.
Right.
So it wasn't to that extent for Illinois basketball. There's always been the commitment and the resources and everything, but now to where it's, we're going to make the tournament every year. Don't even consider that. I'd be shocked if this group, based on the talent, doesn't make the tournament.
Would agree.
Now it's just having this group mature and vibe together and the fact that a lot of these pieces can come back. He knows he has the talent. He knows he's got a great staff. He knows that he's set up well financially with an extension and everything. I mean, he's got every reason to be in a good mood.
Well, and the other part of that is he had it. You know, 1 year, of course, Stephen F. Austin, he was doing really well. And then he gets Oklahoma State to the NCAA tournament. They battle Michigan in that great NCAA game where Michigan wins the game. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's gone and he's Illinois' coach. I feel like there's probably a little bit of him saying, I better prove myself because I just made a move from Oklahoma State to here. And there's a lot of probably Illini fans sitting there saying, well, then you better win. And, of course, we would say that with anybody. I mean, Illinois fans were ready to win when he got here. Oh, my goodness, was that a long drought.
And there were some questions midway through year two about where this was going, whether they were going to have enough to get over the hump. And look at some of the other guys that were hired at the same time. Konzo Martin doesn't have a job right now.
Wow.
Archie Miller got fired from Indiana.
Wow.
I mean, those are some other guys. I mean, Chris Holtman is still at Ohio State. Yeah. And he's done pretty well. Brad is won more games in terms of the Big Ten here recently, at least, but some of those other guys that were hired at comparable spots aren't there anymore because they didn't get it done, but Brad has.
Great point. Great point. All right, we'll hear more from Brad Underwood a little bit later this week. When we return next hour, Barry Lunney Jr., Illinois football offensive coordinator, joins us. We're back. It is The Drive.